Microphone, tolerable, outline, host. For years, these four elements brought people together to enjoy podcasts across the world. And although my podcasting skills are great, I still have a lot to learn. But I believe I can talk about the shows I love with the people I tolerate to save the world. Hello, and welcome to My Streaming Bubble. I'm your TV watching and talking host, Jen. And I have mastered the art of podcasting, sort of, kind of, not really, but just enough to tolerate Laura and to discuss with her the first season of Netflix's Avatar: The Last Airbender. Welcome, Laura.
Hi.
Hi.
I don't even know how to follow that intro. That was awesome.
Thank you. Again, one of those things that came at like kind of the last minute because I procrastinated all morning rather than get ready. And so I'm glad it worked out, because sometimes it doesn't. But
those are great bloopers, though.
They are. I love the bloopers. But so Laura's back. We're going to talk about the full first season of the live action Avatar: The Last Airbender series. We did a watch party for the first episode, which was a lot of fun. And in watching this first season, I'm kind of bummed that it didn't work out to do watch parties for the rest of them, because I think they would have been a fucking hoot. But
yeah,
we'll go ahead and we're going to get started. And so we can just kind of get it all out there. So, like I said, we're talking about Avatar: The Last Airbender on Netflix, and it stars a lot of people whose names I didn't practice. And while I'm not sure which is more disrespectful, not saying their names or saying them knowing it will go poorly, I'm opting to not say them. So my apologies. But with that said, here is your IMDb synopsis and spoiler warning. So according to IMDb, a young boy known as the Avatar must master the four elemental powers to save the world and fight against an enemy bent on stopping him. What I says about this, I says, welp, I suppose when the live action adaptation bar is as low as it is, things can only go appa. Sorry. I was really, really proud of that one.
As you should be.
Oh. All right. So, Laura, what are your general thoughts on this first season?
It was okay. I will admit, I kind of got into some of the action sequences a bit. And I will say there are like certain castings that really do work. But I ended up going back and rewatching the cartoon because I was like, wait, that's not from season one, I swear. And so I had to watch it. And then, you know, we finished season one and I'm like, no, not everything that I saw in the live action was, I got to keep going. So, and then I watched the Avatar, the Legend of Korra. So it went off on a tangent. So that nice. Probably tells you where this ranks.
Fair enough. Oh, I would have to agree. This was okay. Like I said, the bar for live action with this title is set like low, like in
very
the ground.
Low. I mean, Aang.
Oh my God. And then the best part is I was watching it with our oldest, and so him being kind of a cut and paste copy of me kept calling him Aang and just mispronouncing everyone's names. And I'm like, God, Army, why are we like this? I was like, oh my God, that's so annoying. But it was, yeah, so it was, it's fine. It's all right. The action sequences are some of the more interesting parts, definitely. I think overall, this is a series that just it's suffering from the 8-episode season. I feel like if this was anywhere between 10 to 12 episodes, I think it could have been a lot better, just to kind of flesh out some of that stuff. Everything just feels, anytime there's like an 8 episode season of any series, things just feel so rushed and kind of compacted, and it doesn't really give you a chance to let these things kind of simmer and like marinate, you know what I mean? And it's because when they do, you're just like, wait, but nothing makes sense now.
Yeah, and that was the thing that confused me as well. If you're gonna, granted, the episodes are like an hour long, but if you're gonna only do 8 episodes, why would you add in content that wasn't part of the original series, and wasn't necessary for kicking off the story, mm-hmm. and then also start folding in some things that were from season 2 of the original series? It's like, mm-hmm. there was plenty of material in season 1 of the cartoon that could have been used. And I'm not saying that every single episode of the cartoon was great either. Like, the Canyon episode, for example, in the cartoon, I could go without watching that and be totally mm-hmm. fine. So, you know, it has its moments where it could have been better, but I just thought it was a really weird choice. Mm-hmm. If your goal is to condense things, why add to it and then take stuff away and then mess up the timeline a little bit?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have no idea. Because like you said, there's plenty in season 1 of the animated series to pull from where they didn't have to start reaching into other seasons. And it makes you kind of wonder then how the next 2 seasons are going to go, because it has already been renewed. Thank fuck for that, at least.
Yeah, I'm still gonna watch it. Congrats to them.
Yeah.
Because I'm gonna watch it. More out of curiosity than anything. Mm-hmm. But you know, it's cool that it got renewed because everything else gets canceled.
Mm-hmm. I like the video too, where, and I think I sent that to you, where it's like Daniel Day Kim, who plays Fire Lord Ozai. And let me just say, like, the hottest Fire Lord I've ever seen, and I'm really glad he had a hard time keeping his shirt on. Woo, doggies! But he's on,
that was
like
a good casting.
That was definitely casting. A good casting. But he's on that Zoom call with the rest of the cast, and he lets them know about the status of the series, and he starts off, you know, kind of like somber, like it's gonna be bad news, and you see them all kind of preparing themselves for it, because that's what Netflix does, is it cancels shit and ruins people's lives. But then it got renewed, and so everyone was so happy, and I thought that was really cute and really kind of fun, and Daniel Day Kim, yum. But I'm glad that, because, god damn it, if this had been canceled after 1 season, it's like, then what would have been the fucking point of making the show in the first place? Like,
right.
That was not the only problem with the movie, but the fact that the movie did so poorly that they couldn't finish telling the rest of the story. So that was always my concern with this adaptation, was that it would get canceled and we'd be left toffless. Sorry, that sounds like toffless.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
That's so funny.
I'm excited to see Toph in the live action. Just, I hope they do her justice. Mm-hmm. I really do.
God, could you imagine if they fuck that up?
I mean, yes, because
that's a dumb question. Yeah. Yeah. And I would have to say that for season 1, the first time I was watching it, I was interested in the sense that it was more like, okay, how are they going to do, you know, an episode starts and you're like, okay, so this is what it's going to be. How are they going to do that? What else are they going to incorporate? And yada, yada. But the second time watching it to prepare for today, I was less engaged. And I think I found it more boring the second time, maybe because I am familiar with the overall story. We also did a rewatch of Avatar: The Last Airbender. And then the 13-year-old started rewatching Korra, but out of order.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, that he does not get from me. So it's like, I kind of already knew. So going, watching it the second time, it's like, I'm there for the action-y bits. And I have to say, I'm there for Zuko. I think out of all the characters in this adaptation, Zuko is my favorite. That poor boy broke my heart. He breaks my heart in this. Whereas in the animated series, the first one, you're just like, ah, you're such a little shit, you and your honor. But in this one, it's not so much about his honor as just being accepted back into his family from his abusive father. And I think that's so much more heartbreaking to actually say it. You know, whereas in the animated series, you're like, yeah, that's more or less.
It's kind of implied, but
yeah, without saying it.
It's not the focus. Right. I loved Zuko's portrayal in this. Like, that was the one character where I'm like, you know, I don't even care about subtle differences in terms of, like, character design, visually speaking, or whatever. His performance was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Sokka was pretty good too, though.
Yeah. I'd have to say, there's only a few of the casting choices in season one that I'm not completely sold on yet, but we'll see by the end of the whole run. And I'm talking specifically about Azula.
Really? I was going to go with the whole trio.
Oh, like,
they all aren't quite doing it for me.
It's the, like Azula, May, and Ty Lee.
Yeah, it's like they went to Wish for those three.
So with Azula, so far I see the anger. I don't see the crazy, the unhinged, danger crazy.
Well, I know the full unhinged isn't supposed to come out until towards the end of the series, so I'll give her that. But what I'm not seeing is the same kind of ambition. Like, she seems ambitious, but not as hungry as she should be, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, she was driven for her father's approval, driven for, you know, making her mark in the world and all that. And I just didn't see that.
Mm-hmm. I would agree. I think, and you're right, and I acknowledge that Azula's danger crazy levels don't come out until the later seasons, but I feel like there was still enough in the animated series early on to kind of start laying that groundwork. But again, I'm also remembering it knowing how everything plays out. So it's maybe just my expectations from what I already am familiar with, you know? But I didn't see it. I think she has plenty of time, hopefully, to really kind of start bringing that out, you know, over the next couple of seasons. May, I thought, she's not tall enough and she's not emo enough. There was too much emotion in her voice, the little bits that she
spoke. Supposed to be like flat, morose.
Mm-hmm.
And that was not what I was getting. I didn't care so much about the height thing. But like, I don't care about the physical characteristics as much. If you can tell who it is, especially based on the portrayal of the character, then I don't have a problem. I can forgive height differences or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, that's not May.
Yeah, I agreed. But at the same time, I was like, no, you're supposed to be much taller. I don't know. I just kind of feel like that's part of her character, but we'll see how the actors do over the next couple of seasons again. And Ty Lee, there wasn't really enough, but she definitely wasn't bubbly enough. Like, she was bubbly, but not to an obnoxious level, which maybe that comes later in Ty Lee in later seasons as well. But
yeah, she's supposed to be like just under overbearingly bubbly, but you can tell that it's kind of fake because she has, you know, her self-worth issues too.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So to be fair, plenty of time to get more from these characters. But it did kind of leave me a little wondering, like,
by the end of the season. Also didn't think their whole scheme that they were playing out was as well designed as some of the things Azula has done in the show.
Mm-hmm.
So I almost felt like that was an insult to the cleverness of her character as well.
Good point. All right, let's see. I want to talk about real quick as we're talking about casting and everything, I want to talk about Boomy because I kind of have to
Yes.
real quick.
Yes,
So,
I wanted to as well. So this works just fine.
excellent. So it's so funny because we hadn't started watching the animated series yet, I don't believe, when we got to the Boomy episode. And so at first, I'm just kind of like, why did they go so prosthetic heavy on the actor? What the fuck? And then my oldest, we're watching it and he's like, oh, I wonder if we're going to get, the Aang and Boomy fight. And I'm like, that's why. That's why they went prosthetic heavy because it is a younger actor. So we can get that like nice tight Boomy
The buff physique.
body. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was kind of fine with it after that, but the prosthetics kind of just freaked me out a little bit. I don't know. I just
Yeah,
was
he
like,
was a little more
ugh.
unsettling. And I say more because honestly, his whole visage in the animated series is a little unsettling. But no, my issue though with Boomy wasn't the prosthetics, believe it or not, because I was completely distracted by like how dark he was in terms of his personality
Oh, yeah.
because you know like okay he made those corny dad jokes like I expected and all that, but like the whole undertone of everything he delivered was you done fucked up, Aang, and I'm pissed off at you and that's what I care about. Whereas the whole exchange between Aang and Boomy in the cartoon was Boomy trying to get his old friend to remember to think outside of the box every now and then.
Yeah,
And
it seemed
I
like.
felt like they changed the tone of the entire sequence because of that difference.
I would have to say that for the series as a whole, definitely was darker and definitely not as light as the cartoon for obvious
Yeah,
reasons.
I
And
mean,
I
I could
think.
totally rationalize that too. Like, they've just been in 100 years war. The Fire Nation's still trying to take over the Earth Nation. There's plenty of reason to be in that kind of mood. I just thought it took away from the kind of bright spot that reunion gave them.
I would have to, I do agree, 'cause his whole thing, Boomy's whole thing was basically like you have to make the hard choices and like kind of forcing his hand. And I don't know. I guess maybe that'll be more to cement Aang's nonviolent ways and trying to find peaceful resolution and everything. But I just, you're right. Boomy was pushing so hard to like an aggressive level. And with the show being live action and a little darker, I think that's part of what kind of it loses me in the sense, because I think part of the charm of the animated series is that it's a cartoon for kids. And so there's lightness and funny and silly parts. And while Sokka does a good enough job filling in those kind of that role, it felt this version just felt that much, still felt darker. And I think, in a sense, kind of lost some of that charm that the cartoon has.
It
And in
did, because
that, this sequence as well with Boomy.
did you find yourself at the end of that episode not feeling heartened? Like, I felt kind of down. Like, oh, okay, well, I mean, they did the Boomy sequence and it's cool, but I don't know. It just left me in the wrong mood.
It left me kind of like, is that it just left me like, huh. And I did actually go back and watch that episode of the cartoon. And I was like, this is so much better.
Yeah, also the fight ended differently in the show, and I'm not sure why they made that creative choice.
Yeah. Who knows? And hopefully it all will make sense by the end of it. And if not, well, then, oh well, they tried, I
Yeah.
guess. But I did enjoy. I did overall enjoy Boomy, and that was still, it wasn't as much fun, but it was still fairly enjoyable, I thought.
Yeah, it was still an enjoyable sequence. That was just me, being disappointed by the tone of it, I guess.
Sure, understandable. So, another character for me that I enjoyed, but there was something missing, was Katara.
Yep.
I love the casting, and she's just absolutely adorable, and she's nailing the hair loopy, so you gotta love that. But there's like a drive or an ambitious, and for lack of a better term, like a pushiness that's missing from her, like a determination. Like she's hungry like Azula, but not to the that same level, but she's definitely driven in the cartoon, and I wasn't getting enough of that. There was just too much sweetness and not enough like stubbornness.
Yeah, they only had a couple of moments where they had the stubbornness going on, and the thing is, she's supposed to be giving off like group mom vibes at some points, and other points you see her more like single-minded about improving her abilities, maybe to teach Aang, but really, about herself. And I don't think we saw enough of that. Like she's finding herself on their journey as well. And I know that that's a backseat to Aang's story, but I didn't feel like she was on that journey. It just felt like she was babysitting.
And with her journey to learn waterbending, again, where we could have used maybe a couple extra episodes, she quickly masters the scroll,
Which wasn't how it went in the cartoon.
and then it's like, and then Jet helps her, like Jet exists to help her grow and strengthen her waterbending skills and everything. And it's just, I feel like we could have used a couple more episodes, at least one more episode, to watch Katara improve. 'Cause she goes from like, I can't even make a water ball, to I'm gonna take down Zuko and I'm gonna take down Avatar, Paku. And you're just like, okay, but how? When did this happen? How did this happen? When did this transpire? What the
Yeah,
fuck?
because her fight with Paku, I'm glad they did that, and it was cool to watch. Especially, I was really looking forward to the ice disc part because I just thought that was cool in the cartoon as well. And I was pretty pleased with the visuals of that sequence. I'm like, when did she learn to do any of this?
So that's kind of what I miss about Katara in this first season.
Right, you don't get her struggles, so you don't get her finding herself. You're just like, snap your fingers, and she's gone from lost to found.
Exactly. Now I think we both agree on Sokka. He's actor nails it. The I like I mean it's Sokka. Like, that dude looks like he just popped out of the cartoon. I'm sorry, but
He does. Where did they
perfect
find
cast.
him?
I think they drew him. So I have
Geppetto's workshop.
the one thing I will say about Sokka is I kind of missed his misogyny, especially against Suki, and because it's like, yeah, they
But let's
have their
explain that, because we don't like misogyny. It's just that
no.
this is a representation of Sokka's growth as a character. He outgrows
Exactly.
his misogyny.
By
He
getting his
learns
ass
his
kicked.
that he has other talents, and he finds his place in a group of otherwise extremely talented benders, and he can't bend. So it was cool to see the normal guy get his growth and his contributions and everything recognized as well. But this, again, already isn't happening for him because he's not a misogynist. And I swear, this is like the first time. Well, if anyone ever makes Sherlock Holmes not a misogynist, I might have things to say about that too. But other than that, I was surprised that I needed to say he should be a little misogynistic right now.
Because that's part of what makes him and Suki's interaction and her kind of showing him how to fight and everything that much more enjoyable, because she kicks his ass. And it's fun to watch, and literally kind of puts him in his place. And again, it absolutely has just all to do with his character growth and him growing from that. And it almost seems like they're not going to focus a whole hell of a lot on Sokka. It's almost like he's semi-established or established enough, but it oddly was like a weird big missing piece for me. So I was like, that just doesn't make this. Yeah. And it's unfortunate that that's what we missed. Was well, misogyny. Oh no.
It has to do with like the overall chemistry of the group as well. And I feel like that hasn't really gelled yet.
Yeah.
Whereas in the cartoon, by the time season one is done, they are Team Boomerang.
Yeah, but other than that, I love Sokka and Momo and Appa. They're just, they're also adorable. So
they are. The other thing that was sticking out for me with Sokka was his interaction with Suki when they first go to the island. Because I seem to think it got a little ahead of itself in terms of their romantic interest. Because like Yue is supposed to be his first kiss. But like there's nothing romantic really between Sokka and Suki at first because of his misogyny. So they never kissed or anything or even alluded to it. So they, you know, they were real quick to like push that sexual tension between the two of them. I'm like, you don't need to rush this, Netflix.
No, I agree. Cause then, yeah, it's like they're having that moment and you know, you're watching and you're like, okay, but he still needs to have his, like, you know, his heart eyes for Yue and everything. Like, what is going on? Why are we doing this?
Ugh. Yeah, it's like, not yet.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of Yue, what did you think?
I liked her. I did. There were definitely some changes to, you know, how they get to where she ends up. But I think it gave a little more depth to her character. Mm-hmm. And the one change that they made that's probably controversial that I was on board with was the whole her being in the spirit world in like this fox form.
Oh,
I thought
yeah.
That was kind of neat how they did that.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, that didn't really bother me at all. But it's like when the fox appeared, I was like, oh, that's, I couldn't remember her name. I was like, that's the moon princess girl lady. And my kid's like, what?
You'll see.
Yeah.
I just think that it kind of gave us a reason for Sokka to be so infatuated with her right away.
Okay.
I mean, other than being a teenage male.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they kind of already like established that with Suki, so they could have just gone that way again because that's kind of, you know,
yeah, but
boy.
Right. That could have been just too much repetitiveness. Maybe they learned their lesson from the first episode when they told us the same story two or three times.
No, they didn't, because they did in episode flashbacks. Because when they're in the spirit world and Aang is talking to Gyatso and he's like, okay, I'm going to go save my friends and then we're going to have all this time. And then he does all that and he comes back and he's gone. And then he remembers that interaction we just saw 20 minutes ago.
I know. Like, and it's so frustrating because, again,
that's my biggest
this is condensed to 8 episodes and you already are putting filler in it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And again, with that first episode, they really did not need, like we talked about, they didn't need to do the show all of that to set up the story and then the flashback, because there were other like flashbacky moments that I think we got that were like genuine flashbacky bits.
Yeah.
Which I think they should have just fucking pick one. Just and pick the right one. That's the right one.
All.
Jesus Christ. That's my biggest problem, I think, with the show is the in-episode flashback reference bits, as if you weren't paying attention. Maybe that's why it's part... Maybe because they're like, yeah, we know this is more boring, so we're just going to show you the same things again in case you weren't paying attention, because you probably weren't, because it was boring and unnecessary.
Oh, you're saying they constructed the show with, like, ADHD or, like, typical Netflix viewer who's also on their phone in mind. Maybe that's a way we can rationalize this to be okay. But you know what? It's not okay.
It's not okay. Yeah, UA, I didn't have any problems with UA. The only thing I will say about UA and kind of just Netflix productions as a whole is that if you're going to continue to raise my prices, do better with the hair. Get better
Okay.
wigs.
Okay, yeah.
UA's wig drove me fucking nuts. Fire Lord Ozai's goatee drove me fucking nuts. The only thing that didn't drive me nuts, actually, was Boomy's armpit hair.
Weird.
I appreciated it. And then it got me thinking, like, is that kind of the point? Are they going like slightly bad because it's cartoon, it's fantasy, maybe to kind of keep some of that silliness? But then I'm also remembering season three of The Witcher, and I feel like a lot of quality went. It feels like, generally speaking, with Netflix original series, you look at some of their early stuff, and I feel like the production quality was much higher. A lot of things were taken into consideration. Whereas we jump to now, and it's like the wig, the Witcher's wig from season one to season three, I feel like just got worse. And everything since then that I've noticed, like with wigs and everything, I'm just like, not all of these are great. What is happening? So that's also one of my big gripes about the series is that, and Netflix as a whole is like, get better wigs. I don't know.
Maybe they were getting inspiration from the declining production values of Game of Thrones. If it works for them, it can work for us.
Good God.
Or maybe this is how they increase their profit margins. They can just do bad quality costumes and questionable filler pieces and raise your prices because they know you're going to watch it anyway.
Now, I did like the costumes. I thought the costumes all looked very good, but it was just some of the hair was just, especially Yue's hair and Ozai's goatee thing, just drove me fucking crazy.
I mean, admittedly, I wasn't really looking at Ozai's goatee, so I
Sure.
didn't notice that one.
Only when they did close-ups of his face, when there was nothing else on him to look at.
Okay, that's fair, but still.
All right. So what about our dear sweet tea drinking uncle that they waited forever to name drop in episode one?
Yeah, why did they do that? I'm still
I
confused.
don't know, but I just wanted to see you react to that again.
It's just really dumb. It's like, this is our big moment.
Da 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 da.
I roll. No, I think I wasn't sure about him after the first episode, as you'll probably remember, but I think he did all right. I think overshadowed by Zuko, for sure. And I am wondering how that dynamic is going to play out in the coming seasons because we've already had demonstrations in the live action series of Zuko choosing Iroh over the Avatar. So when it comes down to, a choice between pleasing his father and sticking with Iroh, how are they going to play that?
That'll be interesting to see. And I'm actually kind of really looking forward to that, 'cause again, I'm Team Zuko on this one. I care more about him and him feeling better. Such a sweet boy. Oh my God, the flashback with how he got his scar. He's just with his hair, he's just got this sweet little baby face, and you just he's trying so hard, but he's also so sweet. You're just like, oh no. I'm sorry, I
Yeah.
love him so much.
Run, Zuko. But we were talking about Iroh,
I'm
so
sorry.
let me try and do that.
Yeah,
I
well.
did think it was interesting that you got to see people's disdain for Iroh, because that was definitely not in this animated series.
Yeah, they were really pushing the whole the dragon, part of
I
Iroh.
just thought that was because he could breathe fire.
No, because
But
yeah,
I
his
guess
like
I was
whole,
wrong.
yeah, his whole like backstory or whatever,
Yeah,
being
so having him captured and everything, I mean, that all worked out fine, but it was weird because the Earth Kingdom soldiers were being so malicious. Mm-hmm. And I always got the impression that, you know, they blindly followed their leadership, but they generally behaved honorably.
Well, they must just that mad. Because the one guy is like, my brother. Yeah. My brother was there. And, you know, it's your fault he's not here anymore. And I'm mad.
I feel like they were pushing that too hard.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What do you think?
I feel like they made some pretty like obvious attempts to paint Iroh as someone who was like of the person he was to contrast who he is now.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's not incredibly needed. We can love Iroh for who he is now and not worry about who he was because he takes such good care of his nephew. Zuko. Sweet baby Zuko. Sorry.
Well, Zuko did kind of help take care of him in a way when he lost his son. And I thought that was cool to include that little scene in there. But
I liked how in the live action, and correct me if I'm wrong, but in the live action, it's Zuko telling Iroh that basically like, you know, your son was lucky to have you as a dad kind of thing. And in the animated series, wasn't it Iroh who told Zuko he would have liked his son to have been like him or something like that? Like, it was just kind of flipped a little bit.
No, I think he says something to the effect of, I see you as my own.
Okay. But it's still kind of flipped a little bit where it's...
Yeah, whereas Zuko is the initiator here.
Yeah. Which, I don't know, I just love that so much.
Yeah, I'm sorry, they made Zuko more vulnerable without making him less of a badass. I just think that was a really... really excellent decision among some other very poor ones.
Yeah. But I mean, I like I love the actor that plays Iroh, and I thought his casting and his facial hair looked legit. I don't know if he actually grew that or how much of that might be him, but that looked well done. So again, it's like, why are some things done very well, like Aang's arrow and the little details, and other things not Zuko's eyeball scar, eye scar.
Yeah, the airbrushing on that's terrible. Oh, just random thing popped in my head. I love that Mutton Chops was the betrayer.
It wasn't Mutton Chops. It was, because there was the other guy, Zhao, who also had Mutton Chops. But our first Mutton Chops, at first, he was very much like, oh, Zuko's such, like, we're so sick of his tantrums, and he's kind of a dick. And Iroh kind of then explains, you know, how that regiment came to serve under Zuko. And it was Zuko saved their lives. And so then he kind of realigned his allegiance, I think, with Zuko, whereas Zhao, played by Ken Leung, but he was on Lost. He was the one that was trying to be the Moon Slayer.
Okay.
Yeah. I was happy to see him.
Yeah. No, but at first, Mutton Chops guy was definitely the one feeding information over to Zhao. So
Yeah.
I was like, why are they focusing on this guy? Well, now we know. But now I want to do this as a game for the rest of the series. Ooh. Is everyone who has beef with Zuko going to have Mutton Chops?
Ooh, good.
Because it's
question.
2-2 so far.
Definitely gonna, let's see, Mutton Chops versus Zuko. Write that down so I can remember. Any more Star Wars references? Because in the first one, we couldn't stop with them. I didn't pick up any, but I wasn't really.
Nothing's popping in my head now. But I immediately got more into, why'd they do that different? So I wasn't looking for them anymore.
Fair enough.
I'm gonna have to rewatch it again just to find them now.
Oh,
they're
boy,
probably huh? there. They're but then again, there. That was more like the prequel story we didn't need that was so heavy with them too. So
that's true. Especially the killing of the kids.
Yeah, I'm still mad at Aang's favorite teacher there for herding them all into a dead end in the first place.
Oh my
god. They made it even easier than Star Wars because like they were all in one very small confined space without any weapons.
Mm-mm. Just all like right there. It felt like they're also just in the main corridor, like just really easily accessible to be murdered. Damn airbenders.
Poor decision making in a crisis.
All right, let's see. Anyone else that we didn't? Well, Aang.
Obviously. <Yeah. laughs> Only the main character.
Yeah. What do you think of our little Aang? Aang.
I hate that.
I know you do. As you should.
He's adorable. And to his credit, he got the quirky facial expressions from the cartoon down pretty well for not being animated himself.
Yeah.
I feel like he seems even younger than Aang in the cartoon.
Okay.
In terms of his mentality and approach to things. So I again, I'm not really sure how they're going to handle the transition from now to the later seasons when, you know, he starts really getting a crush on Katara and all that.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. I liked the casting. I think the casting for Aang, looks and character portrayal wise, has got to be next to Sokka, like just kind of up there. I thought this kid did a great job. He looks like a little live action Aang, and I thought he did a very good job kind of maintaining that childlike wonder of Aang and like begrudgingly accepting his role and responsibility as the Avatar. Like, he just did a really great job overall with the character, I thought. And it will be kind of interesting to see. I don't know if they're going to be filming the next couple seasons, if they're going to start sooner than later, if we have to wait 16 years. But I'm hoping that, like, they get them done kind of bam, bam, because I think the way these actors will age in this in that time will kind of match how the characters aged and grew up in the animated series. So if they're smart,
I think so too.
They'll start filming as soon as they can and just hammer out 2 and 3 as quickly as they can. Because I think otherwise then you're going to run into that Stranger Things issue where everyone's 30.
Yeah, that's the last season of a show I'm going to be like, oh man, I don't know. I don't know how this is going to work now. Mm-hmm. You can't call them kids anymore.
Yeah, but 30-year-olds playing teenagers is like the most authentic 80s thing they could have done. So
that is true. So I guess that works. But it's going to be much, much, much more impactful here with this series.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So I no real issues or gripes or notes on Aang. I thought character and actor-wise did a great job with him. So
I think so too. I just think the showrunners chose to play up the youthfulness aspect a bit more, and it makes him adorable, but I just want to make sure, you know, that that doesn't take away from Aang being an older soul in some respects and you know, being seen as a paragon of wisdom. And just generally developing those more complex feelings that you do when you get a bit older. However, there is the mechanism of how Aang accesses the spirit world.
Yeah.
How they changed some of that and made it more difficult.
Yeah.
Like, he can't talk to his past lives unless he's in front of their statues.
Oh, yeah.
There has to be something as a conduit when really he just needs to meditate properly.
Wonder why that is. It's just, so some of these choices, it just kind of really makes you wonder, like, why? It seems unnecessary.
It does.
Like, there's no reason for it. I get things are going to change, you know, with adaptations, and I think I'm okay with them for the most part. But when they just feel unnecessary and they don't really add anything, that's when it's kind of like,
Yeah, they wanted to add some sort of increased difficulty to it for some reason. And it's like, this kid has to save the world from, a murderous tyrant, hell-bent on conquering everything. That's hard enough already to ask a 12-year-old to do. So let's not add unnecessary complexity.
No, they're gonna. Not sure why, but again, hopefully, maybe, fingers crossed, it'll make sense by the end of the series run, so.
Yeah, maybe it'll be a source of development for him. Like, he won't need to do those things anymore because
Maybe.
he's gotten more in touch with his powers. Maybe that's what they're
Yeah.
going for.
What did you think about Aang not learning to waterbend by end of season one?
That was so wrong. You're hanging out with a waterbender the whole time. You go to the Northern Water Kingdom. And you see a fight with a master, and you get involved in this battle, and you don't learn to waterbend even a little bit. And your bending is supposed to be your thing.
Meanwhile, Katara has made leaps and bounds of improvements that happened off screen, but at no point that
Does
she
that.
couldn't have worked with Aang at all. Like, we saw that one little bit with them down by the river and whatnot, but like, that was it. What the fuck?
Yeah, again, they took the focus away from their journey, and that took the focus away from them building those relationships and the natural progression of bending together and increasing those abilities. Because I remember a scene from the cartoon where they're like standing in a pool beneath a waterfall and they're like practicing their forms together and Katara's approach is very methodical, and Aang's just like, watch this.
Is that one of the times where Katara snaps at him?
Yes.
Yeah. See that. We need more of like a little of the unhinged Katara.
Yeah, she needs that water whip in her personality as
Yes,
well.
exactly. That's what's missing from her character in all of this. Ooh, kind of one last very important character to discuss. My cabbages.
Oh,
So yay! They did it! A couple of fake
I
outs,
was
but we
so
got
happy when they
there.
did that. Felix was watching it with me
I
and he just burst out laughing. He's like, they got that guy.
swear to God, you could not fuck up my cabbages, guys. So I'm glad that they didn't try anything new, funny, different, or silly. But we had a couple of the fake outs. And which that I admit was kind of fun because you're like, oh, he's gonna say,
Yeah.
oh, he didn't get to say the thing. And then he said the thing, and we're just like, woohoo! It was way too joyous of a moment.
Yeah, but that was like the little silliness in the cartoon that made it so endearing.
Exactly. Still
What
disappointed
did
that we didn't get Aang's little magic trick that he does with the little bally things. And making
I
that
am
dopey ass
hoping that
face.
that happens in, season two, maybe as part of their grifting montage with Toph.
Yes. Make it
Because
happen, please.
them swindling everyone was hilarious.
Oh my God, that's so fun. I love it so much. It
And
just solidifies Toph as a fucking badass.
then she becomes chief of police. Spoilers.
Oh man. And then yeah, when the oldest was rewatching Katara and or not Katara,
Korra.
Korra, and he gets to the episode where she is in the swamp and has her Yoda moment with Toph and everything. It's like, yes, old Toph. I love old Toph. I mean, I love any form of Toph, but old cranky Toph is
Your
definitely
spirit
the
animal
best.
of
Yes.
sorts.
Of sorts, yes. Mad respects. So, let's see. Anyone else that you wanted to mention that we didn't get to?
The Inventor.
Yeah, with
I was
Danny
like, oh,
Pudi.
it's Abed from Community.
Yes!
So, and because of that, I can't remember the character's name.
I think it's just, I don't know, the machinist. Or they call him, I think in the cartoon, they call him like the mechanist.
The
Mechanist.
Mechanist? Well,
It's,
anyway, what did
yeah,
you think
that
of
guy.
him?
Oh, I loved it. I loved it.
Yeah,
I
I
had
thought
the
they did
same
him
reaction.
justice as well. I
Perfect
really did.
casting. Yep. And the kid, perfect casting. I just, it all worked. And I think maybe I had a bit too much of like Abed heart eyes every time he came on
Yeah.
screen. But and so I'm completely missing some more critiquey moments, but I loved it. I fucking loved
You're
it. And then
right.
when we rewatched the episodes with the machinist, mechanist, whatever, I was like, they nailed it. Like, no
They really
complaints.
did. They really did. But yeah, you're right. I was totally watching that with rose-colored glasses as soon as he popped in. It's like, no way. The show just got better.
Troy and Abed in the morning.
I have on a coffee cup.
Yes.
Okay, but the other character from that same time period here, Jet.
Ah, Jet. I feel like if we didn't, I feel like he had to make an appearance, right? Also, but
Yeah, he did.
I'll give him this. Great hair.
Very good hair.
Very great hair. Loved it. It's amazing. I hope that's all natural and not any kind of, any
That'd be the one,
expenses
oh,
or.
you figured it out. That's the one wig that they spent all the money on. So anyone
Exactly.
else who needed a wig or a hair-related prosthetic.
Jet's hair and Iroh's beard, that's where all the money went for that budget. But
We demand to see the balance sheets.
yeah, no shit. Do better, goddamn it. Oh, okay. Sorry, got off on a little tangent. What now? Huh?
Jet.
Jet. See, I totally so memorable.
Robin Hood
I
and his
don't.
merry men, or
Yeah.
basically
Yeah.
that's what he is.
I don't know. I wasn't completely blo I was pretty meh on live action Jet. Handsome, great hair, and he was there to help Katara tap into a more positive, no, to tap into more emotions to increase her bending. So I don't know, he served his purpose.
He
I
did.
don't know. It's he's there. Great hair. That's all I'll say.
Yeah. I mean, I know he's kind of a terrorist in the cartoon as well, but it seemed to me like the schemes were a little more devious and willing to sacrifice even people they knew and needed for the sake of sending a message.
For the greater good.
It always comes back to that movie, doesn't it? The greater good.
greater good.
Yarp.
But yeah, I guess I don't really have, I didn't even like jot down his name or anything. I had jotted down different characters' names, little notes, mental notes, nothing for Jet, just great hair. I think mostly because like the 13-year-old wants to, because he likes having longer hair, but he
Yeah.
wants to maybe try something that still has some length but gets it a little bit more off his like neck. So I think we're gonna try the Jet. We'll see how that works.
Pictures.
That's Oh, absolutely. So that's really all I got on that guy. As soon as he appeared on screen, it's like I knew it. I was like, that's Jet. You just knew it.
I
It
was
was
dumb and did not know
No
it.
way. Oh, that's kind of
Because the timeline
surprising.
was off. So I was
Yeah.
like, well, who's this guy supposed to be then? Oh, it's Jet.
But see, it's like, because he and Katara have their small flirty moments when he's like sneaking them in, and Sokka's like rolling his eyes and everything, hiding in the back of the cart. So I was like, yep, That's where we're at. That's who this is. It's where we're going. But yes, you're right. The timeline was odd, but it was very much, again, keeping in mind that 8 episodes, we're condensing what, like the first season's 15, 20 episodes, squishing
Yeah,
that down and
so
picking out like the more important, bigger parts and all together. So that's how I got there, I guess.
yeah, which is ultimately my biggest gripe with the show.
Fair enough. See, again, just I know a lot of people, I've been seeing a lot of people say that they want to kind of go back to, you know, the 20 plus episode seasons and get some more filler episodes. And I don't, while I agree we need longer seasons, I don't know that I'm completely on board with 20 plus, just
No.
because that's a lot of watching. And
I think a
it's,
dozen would have been good here.
I think so too. For me, I think a nice sweet spot is between like 10 and 15, depending on like
Yeah.
the show and the story and everything. So this is definitely a season, a series that can use more episodes and
Right.
should have more episodes.
Right. I think that would have helped it capture more of the magic of the cartoon, but maybe still be its own thing. Because it was enjoyable to watch at times. So I didn't come away from watching this as like, oh, I can't believe I just did that. Like the movie.
Right. There's no
But,
movie.
you know, Felix's response to it kind of echoes that because he was kind of interested, but kind of bored. And then when we switched to watching the cartoons again, he was like, oh, yeah. So something's not right here.
Yeah,
Hopefully
something's amiss.
they figure it out and really do the cartoon justice and do this own show is a bit of justice too.
I'd be curious to know what, like, if someone who didn't know the animated series watched this live action version and then goes back to watch the cartoon, what their thoughts are on how this version did. It's like it didn't do terrible, but again, it's just that it's the fault of 8 seasons or 8 episodes. I think
That's
it
a
could
good
have
point.
been,
I wonder.
yeah.
But if they went season to season instead of waiting for the series to be completely done before starting the cartoon, there's going to be some issue with that because they did fold some season two events into season one somehow, even though they only had 8 episodes. And I don't know why they did that.
Don't know either. Oh my God. Oh, that is very interesting. That's a good question and some interesting choices. But all right. Well, anything else? So this is our Stray Bubbles, our last chance to bring up notes, fun facts, final rants, and raves. You got
I think
anything
Zhao
left?
was as despicable as ever.
Yes.
And I'm glad that in both series he paid for it in the end.
Absolutely. It's like, oh my God, you're the Moon Slayer. You're such a badass. Go fuck yourself. What the fuck?
Watching him murder the moon was traumatic in the live
Yeah.
action one.
Yeah,
It really was.
it yeah, no, I thought the actor Ken, he does a great, and again, I was very happy to see him. It took me a second because I'm like, I know that. I know him. How do I know him? And I ended up just looking it up because I got impatient with myself. And I was like, oh my God, he was from Lost. He was another. Yay. And that's like, so I was like that much more like into watching his character, his portrayal in this. And oh, I loved it. He's great as this terrible character. He's so great. I'm like kind of bummed that we're not gonna get more of him, but
It was a good way to highlight how Iroh is trying to teach Zuko how to be a little more subtle and crafty. I thought that was a fun, like, let me teach you something, boy, dynamic.
Oh, Zuko, have I mentioned how much I love little baby Zuko? His poor little
Yeah.
spray painted face. All right. Well, I've got nothing left. I think I got it all out. But yeah. Oh, I guess my only other thing was that I didn't like it when Zuko would yell at Mutton Chops, but it's fine now.
They made up. It's okay.
It's fine. Yeah. So. All right. So on to the Midwest goodbye. And this is the beginning of the end where we'll spend another good chunk of time wrapping this shit up. So we start first with the 6 degrees of Nicolas Cage. Laura,
All
how'd you
right.
do? All right.
I got it in 2 steps, 2 degrees.
Ooh, nice.
Okay. So Nicolas Cage was in Astro Boy with Samuel L. Jackson, who was in Arena with Daniel Dae Kim. Fire
Very
Lotus
good.
Eye.
Nice. Well, I went, of course, I have two. The first one just it just came to me. With Danny Pudi, who's in Community, with Donald Glover, who's in Across the Spider-Verse, with Shameik Moore, who does the voice of Miles, so he was also in Into the Spider-Verse with Nicolas Cage.
I like that one.
Yeah, it's a fun one. And then I wanted to use one of the kid actors, one of the stars. So I went with Gordon Cormier, who plays Aang. He was in, and I did have to use the Oracle of Bacon for this because I'm like, I don't have time for this. I was organizing recipes all fucking morning because that's a project I started 2 years ago. That felt like today was a great day to finish it. But Gordon Cormier was in A Christmas Miracle with Kendall Cross, who was in The Wicker Man with Nicolas Cage.
Nicely done. I wasn't sure if I would be able to find anything with the kids, so I didn't even try that.
Oh, I knew there was just no way I was gonna get there, like naturally on my own. So I did use Oracle of Bacon, so
By the
which is
way,
quite
shout out
handy.
to whoever made that site, because that's awesome. I'm so glad
And
it exists.
it's the handiest fucking thing, and I love that. Yeah, you can plug in. It's not just to get to to Kevin Bacon in 6 steps or less, but any actor, anybody. So handy. It's bookmarked on my
I should
computer here.
bookmark it.
You
I
should
haven't done
bookmark.
that.
Everyone should bookmark it. So, all right. Well, and now on to what's been streaming in your bubble. So, Laura, what have you been watching, reading, playing, whatever? What you been up to?
I haven't been watching a lot of anything right now or reading. Mainly just been streaming a ton of music.
Oh, what you been listening to?
All sorts of random things. Just discovered Spotify Jams, so you can get random groups of people together and listen to whatever songs y'all add to the list.
Oh, fun. It's a nice eclectic little grouping of genres, I bet.
Yeah, it's been really fun.
Nice. Let's see. Well, other than this show and the animated series and Legend of Korra, husband and I finished Invincible season 2 the other day.
Oh, I have to finish that.
Again, another show that definitely could use more episodes, not just for characters and everything, but also because it's just entertaining as fuck.
Oh, you reminded me. Because those
Ooh.
episodes come out on Thursdays. Delicious in Dungeon. Have you been watching that? Because it's
No,
on
I
Netflix and
haven't.
it has new episodes out on Thursdays. I need to catch up because I haven't been watching stuff lately. But that show, like at first, the voice acting seemed a little stilted and like forced, and now it's like the beginning of a real D&D campaign, because you're kind of like fleshing out your character, getting to know the dynamics between each other, and it can feel that way sometimes. But now that it's gotten this far into it, I'm hooked.
Yeah.
I love it. And they're just like cooking up all the monsters and eating them, and it's like a cooking show built into D&D. Of course I love it.
I'm not surprised at all. I was actually when you first brought it up, when we were, I don't know, whenever, and you were like a little kind of unsure, but not completely like put off or anything. I was like, oh, it seems like from what I know, it's yeah, like fantasy and in food. Kind of an odd, how they meld the two together. So it does not surprise me that you are now in love with the show.
I
I will
am.
definitely have to give it a try because I hear great things. And again, it's kind of
It's
one of
worth
those
it.
things
It's worth it.
too, where it's like, I like those things. I like those things together. I should watch the thing. I'll watch the thing.
Yeah, definitely. It's worth it.
Let's see. Otherwise, yeah, Invincible. We did start X-Men 97, so we got like the first episode in the other day. I started watching Gen V, the Boys spinoff. I got about halfway through that, so
Is that good? I haven't watched
I've
it.
been yeah, I've been liking it so far. It's just as fucking wild and like violent as, you know, the Boys, so yeah. Start watching that. We've been staying current on Abbott Elementary. That's one that we gather around as a family to watch, so that's always a lot of fun. Otherwise, just whatever kind of random ghosty shit I can find on like Tubi or oh, you know what? Actually, one thing I'm like super obsessed about has been Hot Ones, and not just because of Conan's episode, which is like complete unhinged fucking madness, and I love that dude so much.
Really?
Oh my God, it's hilarious. And I learned a couple of weeks ago that through like the Roku channel app, they have like live streaming channels, and they have a Hot Ones channel. So it just airs random episodes all day long. Older episodes and stuff. So I've been watching a lot of that. And then, yeah, because Conan's Hot Ones episode was so fucking hilarious and I watched it twice and died both times, I've been kind of going down a rabbit hole on YouTube of the more recent Hot Ones, and some of the like best of Conan bits and compilations and shit like that. And I've just been in hysterics for days, like in a good way.
We'll have to check that out because Aaron, as you know, likes to eat insanely spicy food sometimes. So I think he'll enjoy it because he'll understand what they're going through.
Absolutely. And because let's see, yeah, Conan's is great. I just watched Bill Burr's, Tom Segura, Segura, Guerra, Dave Grohl. I think that dude has ADHD.
Probably.
Just
It wouldn't
watching him on.
surprise me at all.
Oh, Tenacious D's episode was great. Watched Weird Al's episode. He's so adorable. He's taking like the tiniest little bites, like these tiny little nibbles. Oh, it's a hoot. I was late to the Hot Ones party. I came in like sometime last year, but I have been doing my best to get caught up ever since. Gordon Ramsay's is another great one.
They did Gordon Ramsay?
Oh my
Okay,
God, yes.
I gotta check that out.
Yes, you do. It is fantastic. So, and then yeah, I just finished another two villains from the Serena Valentino villains series with the Disney villains. I listened to the one with Cruella De Vil, and before that, Mother Gothel from Tangled. So I never saw Tangled.
Interesting.
Yeah. And with the
Yeah,
Cruella
I've
de
seen it.
Vil, so I only know that she's in that, right? Like, I don't know a
Yeah.
lot about who this character was. So it was kind of interesting to really get more of like her quote like backstory, before really knowing this quote evil character. And then with Cruella de Vil, how dare you make me sympathize with a would-be puppy killer, Serena Valentino?
Oh, no.
It was really, really good. And it took me a while to kind of get there to kind of sympathize a bit with Cruella. And it was only a little bit for a little while. And then it was like, okay, good. I'm glad I didn't stick around in there for too long. But they're so good. I love them so much. I think you would have a lot of fun with them if you ever get a chance. They're also in graphic novel form too, if you.
Oh, that could make it fun. Are they appropriate to read with like 10-year-olds?
I mean, so we have them classified as like young adult, but
Okay.
they're really not any more violent or inappropriate than the original fairy tales that they're based off of.
Well, that's setting the bar kind of low if you're talking like the Grimm fairy tales.
Yeah.
Or Things like the actual original version of The Little Mermaid.
Yeah, no, nothing like that. I didn't think they were that bad. I think I could easily have listened to them with both kids around, the 10-year
Okay.
old as well, and he would have been fine. I think it'd be all right, but that's just me. Like I said, they're just a take on fairy tales, so on the villains. All right. Well, okay, I think we're done. Are we done?
Yeah, I just want to give a shout out really
Oh,
quick.
yes.
If the audio is better on this track, we can thank my friend Jesse for giving me a proper microphone to use.
Yay. Thank you, Jesse. Appreciate it. As the one who does the editing on this. No, I've never really, your audio has always been fine. Like, never any issues with it, except for when you sent me an empty audio file last week or 2 weeks ago. But that's
Yeah, sorry
neither
about
here nor
that.
there. That's all right. I laughed so fucking hard. But yes, you
Fun,
showed
I'm
me the
not sorry though.
microphone. It's beautiful. It's rainbow colored and it's so pretty. So that is a very nice mic. Good call. Do you get to keep it or is it just on?
It's on
Okay.
loan,
Oh, okay.
but I can buy one.
There you
I
go.
can buy you one for a late birthday present, and we can have matching mics.
Yay! You should do that for sure. Buy me all the things. Anyway, while I finish sending Laura my Amazon birthday wish list, we'll go ahead and just wrap this up. So, thank you, Laura, for joining me today. This was so much fun. I was very much looking forward to this conversation. Having this conversation with you, was excited to get your take on this kind of mid show. It's fine. It's
Mid, yeah.
fine. It's like six airbenders out of 10. All right. It's fine.
Six
But
boomerangs.
six boomy armpit hairs.
Ew.
All right. So, listeners, let me know what you thought of, think of today's episode, or if you have any suggestions for future episodes, go ahead and let me know. Send an email to mystreamingbubble@gmail.com. And be sure you're following my podcasts. Yes, that's right. I have two now because why not? There's obviously this one, My Streaming Bubble, and you can follow me on Twitter at Streaming Bubble. No my in that. Facebook, Instagram, and Threads as My Streaming Bubble. And you can find me on a podcast player near you, obviously. My other podcast is Twin It to Win It. It's a monthly podcast that I co-host with Aaron from It's a Fandom Thing, where we test our twinningness. What does that mean exactly? Well, you'll just have to listen to find out. So be sure you follow us on Twitter at Twin It to Win Pod, no second it in that, on Facebook, Instagram, and Threads as Twin It to Win It Podcast, and you can listen on most podcast players. So, again, Laura, thank you for being here. Thank you to everyone for listening. And until next time, keep streaming. Bye.